Well, thank you very much. I heard Pastor call me old twice in one of his introductions. Did you catch that too? He said, you know, I've been around a long time and all that stuff, but anyway. Great to be with you today. It's okay if we smile a bit. That's all right. It's okay. It's okay to have fun in church, by the way. Isn't that, yeah, we can do that too? Good. All right. Well, anyway, it's an absolute privilege for me to be here. And as the pastor was praying and speaking about how God's mercy and kindness and his long-suffering towards us, that resonates within me. I don't know about you, but the things that I, in my past, that are past, but for God to just be with me all those years and all that time when I was in such a mess. And maybe you've got the same sort of thing, that God was there even though you didn't know it. And I want you to know those loved ones that are around you, those people that you're still believing for, God's still with them. And so God's in the midst of transforming them, and he's going to use you as part of that process along the way. Hallelujah. You know, God is merciful and kind, and I don't know whether you've thought, why did he ever create Lucifer when he knew the destruction that Lucifer would bring? Why did he ever create Adam when he knew Adam would rebel and turn his back? Why was it only Jesus that could win us back to the Lord, to the Father? Amazing love. Can't really recognize the depth of what it's all about, of what he actually has in store and how much he loves you. And so today we're going to spend a few minutes and really talk about Canada, because I really believe God's got a passion for our nation. He's got a yearning to see our nation rise up to the place and prominence that he has for us. And so we'll spend a few minutes. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes before we get into that. And I brought some books with me. They're out in the foyer. Three of them I wrote. Two of them I didn't, but I really wish I had written. They're really good books. But the first one is Raising Up and Mentoring the Next Generation. This is a book on if you have someone that you're wanting to pour your life into, you want to be able to help them and see them grow and develop, this is a how-to book. This is how do I do it? What do I actually do? How do I pour my life into another? And so it would be really helpful if you've got somebody that you say, come on, let me help you. Let me just pour my life into you. This is a great book for that. Second one is, it's called The First Shall Be 21st and the 21st Shall Be First, talking about first century model of church and 21st century model of church. Do you think there's any difference between the two? Come on now, do you think there's any difference between the two? I do. I think there's substantial difference between the two. But I believe that God is bringing back again the understanding and the model that he had in New Testament times in the first two or three centuries that transformed the known world. And God's in the midst of bringing that back again. So this book will really help you on that. The third one that I wrote is called Bassana. It's a very different book. It's written through an angel's voice. It talks about before Lucifer fell, what it was like, what he was like after he fell, what happened with Adam, all the way through to the end times, spoken through an angel's voice. A very interesting, very different book, almost like a novel, but it's very biblically accurate, something you might enjoy as well. This one I did not write. Again, I wish I had. Well, let me talk. I'm going to do this one last because I like it best. Understanding Jesus. This is by Joe Amaral. I don't know whether you know Joe Amaral or not. Great book on first century Jewish life, first century Christianity. Really helps you understand the Bible a whole bunch more New Testament-wise. Great book as well. And then this one, which is the last one, is Mark Batterson's book called All In. One of the stories in this book is there was in about the 1500s or thereabouts, they were trying to take the South America, and they sent 11 ships, and they're all anchored in the harbor, and the men all went ashore, and they were trying to establish a colony there. Many had failed in the past, but what the captain decided to do, he said, go out to the harbor, go to each of the ships and start them on fire, and let them burn to the ground, burn to the sea, really, because there's no escape from this. We're not turning back. We're not going to say, oh, guess we failed again. It's all in. And I believe that's what God's calling us today, is to be all in. Men and women who say, I'm in this for the end. We're fighting because we recognize that we have a nation to see transformed. We have a region to see transformed. We have families that need to be transformed. I don't know about you, but I've got family members that are out there. But I just say to you, we are not moved by the circumstances of the moment. We're moved by the word of God. And the Bible says that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And amen, this is good. Me and my, we will serve. Don't look at the circumstances at the moment. You keep being the salt and light in that person's life. Love them back. Allow the door to continue to be open to come back when they finally turn around and they recognize they're in the pig pen someplace. And they're really, what can I do? I can go back because you've loved them all the way through. Don't ever give up. God's in the midst of changing things. So, and I brought a bunch of CDs. Now, I know that this is really an old-fashioned, almost outdated thing to have a CD. I mean, does anybody still have a CD player? A few of you. Okay, well, I brought a few. This is narrated by Bill Pranker talking about the history of Canada. And so I brought a few. I thought if you want to pick up a book as well, we can give you one of these also. So if you wouldn't, they'll be in the foyer as well. Pastor, would you mind? Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. So everything's okay? You had a great Christmas, yeah, right. We have some really good friends that pastor in Hamilton, and they're Joe and Bella Garcia. I don't know whether you know them or not, but it doesn't matter. They pastor in Hamilton. As soon as the end of October comes, they put up their Christmas trees, all their decorations and everything else. They take them down as the 1st of March. I think, really? So when I slip with Mary, Christmas thing, sorry about that. But Joe would be saying, yeah, let's do it. You know, so. All right, Canada. Canada. Father, we thank you that you're so magnificent. We thank you for this time together and for these people that are here gathered together. These are men and women who have desire to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Father, give us new eyes and a new understanding on how we could go and be more effective in the things you put before us. Father, I thank you that you love us enough to motivate us to be able to do more, see more things come to pass for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to say to you, Canada was founded as a Christian nation on Christian principles. It's said that in about 980 AD, a man named Leif Erikson gave his life to Christ in Norway. And a year later, sailed to Canada, to Newfoundland. And the first thing he did when he got here was plant a cross in Newfoundland saying, "This land we dedicated and claim it for the Lord Jesus Christ." Yes. Newfoundland is other, yes. It was a newfound land. It had been there all the time, but it was a newfound land. John Cabot came in 1497, planted a cross, and also claimed this land for God. 1534, Jacques Parcher made his way up the St. Lawrence to what is now Montreal. He climbed to the top of Mount Royal and planted a cross declaring this new land was dedicated to God. We have a Christian heritage. Our nation has a Christian heritage. Come on, say it with me. Our nation has a Christian heritage. Samuel de Champlain came in 1608. He was not just an explorer. He saw himself as a missionary coming to the land. 1649, Brebeuf, a Jesuit priest, a missionary, came to this area right around here, northern New York State, came across in this area as well. But he came and spoke to the native communities that were all around. He was martyred because of his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he left a stamp on this land because he declared that this land is called for God. This is something that God has a specific purpose and destiny for. And so I believe that God has got exactly the same ideas and understanding of our nation right now. In 1810, there was a young man named David Thompson who decided that he was going to travel the western part of Canada out through the Rockies. And he really wanted to make maps and a topographical understanding of that whole region out there and spent years going through all of those territories. But his purpose was not that he would just make maps. His purpose was so that he could show the ones that were coming after him, the missionaries, which way to go and how to go about it and how to get to the people so they could bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that our nation nation has a Christian heritage. Come on, say with me, our nation has a Christian heritage. It does. McMaster University was founded in 1838 as a Baptist college. It still actually has a theological college there now. In fact, most of the universities throughout North America, they were started as Christian organizations. There was a man named Egerton Ryerson in 1846 who was the first evangelist, but he was the one that established our public school system. But he determined it would be a Christian public school system. Have we come a ways from that so far? We have, haven't we? But it was determined that that's what it would be. And I believe that God is in the midst of changing people's hearts, transforming people in this whole nation to see that we have somehow missed the mark as far as our education is concerned. We need to bring character. We need to bring right living. We need to bring all the things that God has got as far as his statutes and attitudes and the way those things should be done. I believe there's a rising group from the grassroots that are coming up and making statements over and over and over again about our public school system. Then in 1867, the nation of Canada was established, if you remember, right? You weren't there. Some people think I was, but no, it's not me either. I wasn't there. But it was established in 1867. There was a man named Samuel Tilley. He was the premier of New Brunswick at the time. But the men that got together, they couldn't quite come up with the right things to call Canada, how to go about it. They all said, let's go home. Let's ask God. We'll sleep on this. Get up in the morning, see what God is saying. Samuel Tilley came back to that group of men and said, I really believe that God has put on my heart Psalm 72:8. And it said, and he shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the rivers to the ends of the earth. And so let's call this land the dominion of Canada, because we want to see God have dominion from sea to sea. And if you look at that psalm, I believe it's only for Canada. I don't believe there's any other country in the world that fits all that criteria from sea to sea, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the rivers from the south, the St. Lawrence and so forth, and then to the furthest extent of the North Pole. It's only could be Canada. It's the dominion of Canada. God called it that way, designed it that way, because we have a Christian heritage and we have yet much to complete. Y'all believe that? Y'all agree with me? That's a Southern Ontario term, y'all. And I understand that there's a plural to y'all. It's y'all, y'all. It is. So y'all, y'all believe, we all agree with that. God has a desire to see this nation transformed. He really does. Our nation has a Christian heritage. Last time with me, our nation has a Christian heritage. Amen. Today, our problems in Canada are not just political, nor are they only social or environmental. No, simply, we have lost our way as a nation. We've forgotten our purpose, forgotten our heritage. We are to be demonstrating what our founding fathers declared, declaring that he shall have dominion from sea to sea, the dominion of Canada. Our country is in a moral decline, and I want you to know it's my fault. My fault. I'm the body of Christ. I've grown up, I'm 73. I don't know how that ever happened. I don't know what happened, but it did. So I've grown up for the last almost 40 years as a Christian. And all of these things took place on my watch. I'm responsible. It's my fault. Now, I'd like to include you as well, because I believe that the church in general, we have not been what God has called us to be in this nation. But I believe that each one that's sitting here in this place today, you would agree with me, it's time for us to stand up and be who's called us to be. It's wonderful that we get together and have times just like this. And I want you to know, the Bible says as we see the end approaching, we need to get together more and more often. I'm for church. I am. I think it's exactly what we should be doing. But I also think that we have got a purpose and destiny out in society, that we need to bring Jesus to every echelon of society that we touch. You have a sphere of influence of people that you connect with on a regular, ongoing basis. And we need to bring Jesus in. It doesn't mean we have a big black Bible and we begin to preach. We just need to bring Jesus and our ordinary, everyday kind of conversations that we have. Bring God and speak up, do the right, say the right things, be able to be salt and light in this nation. I really, really believe that God is calling us for such a time as this. And the reason is that we didn't stand up as an army before. We had some people that stood up and said some things, but we didn't have an army that stood up. We have in this country today, we have 37 million people in Canada. And if you think of Canada and the expanse of our country and how big it is, 37 million is not a lot of people. But does anybody know what the statistics tell us? How many born-again believers are in Canada today? Anybody know that percentage? Okay, let me do a little test. You okay if I test? It's okay, Pastor, if I do a test, okay. How many would think that it is more than 20% born-again believers in Canada? Okay, how many would think it's more than 15%? How many would think it's more than 10%? How many would think it's less than 10%? 6% born-again Christians in Canada is where we are. Now, I know we all say, oh, wow, and I agree, but that means we have 94% to work on. I mean, what a wonderful thing that is. Come on now. How many have ever been in sales? If you had no prospects, everybody had your product, we'll all stay home. But no, 94% are waiting to hear from you and I. They are. But that army of 6% actually, that's 1.8 million born-again believers in Canada. 1.8 million of us. Come on, we're an army, we just don't know it. We need to rise up from the grassroots. We need to think, we stop thinking about the superstars that come. I want you to know there's only one superstar, his name is Jesus. All the rest is just us. There's no big deals, it's just us. You know, Pastor was kind to introduce me and say all those wonderful things and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just George, that's me. It's just us. But God has a purpose and he has a stamp upon your life and my life, and that is to transform the sphere of influence that we're in. God's looking for a people today that will not, like my generation, the last 40 years that I stood around doing nothing or just talking about it, but we actually begin to stand up and take our place. And I believe that that time is now. Do you believe that too? Yes? Hallelujah. We can turn our nation around, but it won't be done by a few superstars or a handful of mega churches. That time, if there ever was a season for that, that season is over. Now, I'm all for the church growing, because as the church grows, it has strength to do lots more things than it could if it was small. But it has the opportunities of reaching out into the community. It has a whole group of people that have the same passion, and that is to transform and take back Niagara Falls. Come on, now take back Niagara Falls. Why not? They call this one of the seven wonders of the world, Niagara Falls, and it is. But I want you to know, God wants us to take it back again for the kingdom's sake. Hallelujah. Whether it's in school or on the job or in your neighborhood, we are to be his hands extended, bringing the gospel to everyone as we go about our daily routines. The gospel transformed the pagan world in the first centuries, and I believe that God is wanting to do exactly the same thing now. So you might say, George, do you think that we're in a pagan society? Yeah, I sort of do, you know? I mean, look around what's going on. It amazes me sometimes. Just probably a week or 10 days ago, there was a teenage boy that got stabbed to death in his high school, outside of his high school, by another teenager. How can that ever come into a young person's thinking process that I'd actually do that? God is so desperately needed in all of our society. But he's looking for you and I to stand up and be his hands extended. The question is, are we willing? The question is, are we willing to do it? There was a group about 40 years ago. They were only 2% of the population at that time. And they had four segments to this group of people, and they all really didn't get along real well with the other portions of the group. But they decided about 40 years ago, they got together, and they decided, we have a bigger fish to fry, if you will. We have a bigger goal ahead of us, and that is we want to change the nation of Canada. So let's put together a long-term strategy, a 30-year strategy, on how to go about that. So let's put our differences aside, you Baptists and Pentecostals and Karen. No, they weren't that. They weren't that. But anyway, put our differences aside and no longer quibble and among ourselves, but let's put a strategy together to change the face of the nation of Canada. We want to change what is taught in our school system. We want to change what is allowed to be said over our news media and what is not. We want to change and give some people some ideas on what is hate speech and what is not. And that community today is called LGBT, probably plus another few things. But the LGBT community has changed the face of Canada. Would you agree with that? They have. 2% of the population, whatever you think, I'm going to leave it alone, but a very different view than you and I would have. But they changed the face of the nation of Canada. Why can we not do the same? Why can we not take Canada back again? Remember, we have a Christian heritage in this land. We do. So it's time. It was actually time 40 years ago, but it's certainly time now. It's time for us to do so. We have an election tomorrow. If you haven't voted in the pre-opportunities that you had, I really encourage you to vote tomorrow. We need to stand up as Christian men and women. Find the candidate that best fits Christian principles and vote for that candidate. Do not waste your votes on candidates that cannot possibly get elected just because they have nice looking placards or something. We need to be strategic in what we do. We need to recognize that God is looking today for us to see a transformation come to the nation. And one of the things we can do is have a political structure that is at least maybe neutral rather than against us. And so there are some parties right now that consider the Christian community as a scourge of Canada. It said, if you're a Christian, don't apply. We need to recognize that God has got much greater things in store for Canada than that. So I really encourage you to you go and vote tomorrow. I'm not telling you who to vote for. That's up to you. You decide. I'm just saying we need to be involved in that process. But most of all, we need to be involved with people that we come in contact with every single day. It's our turn. We can turn our nation back to our Christian heritage, back to God, but it will mean that each of us taking responsibility to connect with, build relationship with, and let the gospel flow out as a normal part of our everyday life. Don't feel that you have to go and preach to people. They don't want you to preach to them, but they want to hear about the love of God. I find that people, they have no problem hearing about Jesus. They have no problem hearing about God. They sometimes have problem hearing about church and religion. So we're not going to go preach. We're just going to. I had a little three-step thing that a man told me one time. He said, when you're talking to someone who's not a believer, he said, the first thing to do is hear their story. Second thing to do is tell them your story. Third thing is tell them his story. Hear their story, tell them your story, tell them his story. So it gives just an opportunity. You listen to them first, you tell them their testimony, you tell them about the love of the Father. It's simple. It's everyday conversation. It's just part of who we are. So we need to do that. So evangelism is not something we go out and do. Evangelism is the natural outflow from who you are. Yes? Everybody agree? Okay, good. Glad to hear it. Matthew 28 says, Christians are to disciple nations. Christians are to disciple nations. Is that part of what we call the Great Commission? Is that part of it? There's two parts. First one is in Mark. It says, go and preach the gospel. And the second part is in Matthew 28. And it says, go and disciple nations. So is part of our mandate to disciple the nation of Canada? We're not sure about that one. I don't know. Come on now, is it? Does the Great Commission apply to us today? It does. Do we think that we as an individual, I as an individual, have to disciple the whole nation of Canada? Absolutely not. But I do have a sphere of influence. I do have people that I connect with on an ongoing basis. And I can bring Jesus to them. And if I do that, and you do that, and you do that, and people in London, Ontario do that, and Windsor, and up through Manitoba, and then to the East Coast and West, and all everybody, the 1.8 million of us, we can bring Jesus and transform our nation. And that's what he meant by discipling the nation. We all play our part. We all say yes to him. Do the easy, simple things. I was out to breakfast 2 days ago with another guy, and our waitress, really sweet young girl, so we found out her name and so forth, and as she's coming, she's bringing the bill. I said to her, you know, thank you for looking after us today. You did a really good job. It was really great. But I said, I want you to know God hasn't forgotten about you. God really loves you, cares for you. She begins to well up and tear up. I said, don't ever think he's ever forgotten about you, because he hasn't. He knows your name. He knows all about you, and he really loves you. Now, so by this time, she's wearing big glasses, by the way, and they were all foggy and stuff. It was great. I really loved it. I would have loved to have a picture of it. But listen, I wasn't the first one to talk about God to her, and I wasn't going to be the last one either, likely. But somewhere along the line, God used me in that process. It was a simple, everyday thing. I didn't stand up on the chair. I had no Bible to wave. I didn't have any of that stuff. Just told her that God loved her, cared about her. So obviously, there was something that had been going on in her life before, and as I say, something that will go on afterwards. Are we willing to be step five in an eight-step process to see her come to Jesus? That was not the time for me to lead her to Christ, because she's not ready for that yet. But she needs to hear. I know for me, I didn't get saved till I was 32. And I was an alcoholic for many years before that. And there was many steps and stages before I finally said yes to Jesus. And if I had missed some of those steps and stages, people had not done what they did as I look back on it, and stepped out and said things to me that had an impact time after time after time until I finally got there. I wonder if I would have made it at all. I don't know. Just saying to you, it's important what you do every day on an ongoing basis with those that you come in contact with. Yes? Yes. We're okay? It's simple. Don't think you have to memorize anything. You don't have to learn 18 spiritual laws. You don't have to do all of that stuff. Just give them. Let it ooze out of you, that love of God. Don't worry about what their face says. Don't worry about anything else. I have a good friend who says every time he goes to a restaurant, the waitress comes and brings the food. He says to the waitress, thanks for bringing that food. It was really great. He says, you know, but we have a tradition that we pray over our food every time that before we eat. I just wondered, are there anything special that I could pray for you while we're praying over our food as well? Simple thing. See what she says. See what does. See what happens. Bring Jesus everywhere that you can. Simple, straightforward stuff. So Matthew 28. So how do we do this? We do it one person at a time. That's how we transform the world. One person at a time. So if we have 1.8 million born-again believers in Canada right now, and each one of those, each one of us, then connected with one person in the year 2020 and saw them come to the Lord Jesus Christ, how many born-again believers would we have by the year 2021? Come on, 1.8 times 2, how many is that? 3.6. All it takes is every believer reaching out to one person. Are we willing to do that? We've been pretty well stalled for the last, I don't know how many years, too many. About the same amount of Christians that we have today. But are we ready to take that to the whole different level? But remember, it's on a one-to-one relationship kind of base. Canada is worth saving. God has a purpose and destiny for our nation. The only reason that Canada is in crisis is because we have lost our vision. We've lost our heritage. We've lost an understanding of what God designed this nation for. He said, you're going to be healing to the nations, Canada. You're going to be a transformative work. He said, I've got things for you to do. There's a man called John Knox. Anybody heard of that name before? John Knox said, give me Scotland or I... Come on, what did he say? Give me Scotland or I die. Give me Scotland or I die. I believe that God is looking for men and women today that says, give me Niagara Falls or I die. Give me St. Catharines or I die. Give me Port Corbin or I die. Give me Welland or I die. Because I have a passion to see this nation turned around. I have a passion to see my city transformed. I have a passion to see my neighborhood changed. But we don't have to think we got to get this great big machine going and all the and spend thousands, hundreds of thousands. No, we don't. Just bring Jesus every place that you go. And I can tell you, as you are doing that, there's somebody else that's spoken into that little girl's life that was our waitress as well. And somebody else will speak into her afterwards. We just need to stand up and do what God's called us to do. He said, you need to be salt and light. Yes? That's us. I'm almost done. I think that sometimes when you say difficult things, it's good if you smile. So you say, yeah. Is everybody okay? Yes. Yes, all right. You haven't thrown anything yet or anything? That's good, so that's great, okay. There was a prophecy that was given by the Puritans. Anybody familiar with the Puritan prophecy? Okay, you can Google it anytime. Just Puritan prophecy, you'll find it. But it was back in 1776 in the United States. The United States was coming together as a country. And one of the things, wise things, actually, the men that were putting the Constitution together in the United States, they chose to bring in denominational Christian leaders into this group and give them input and advice on what they should do. Good thing. And so what happened was there was this group called the Puritans that came, and they said all sorts of things. But then they said, you know, I think we have a word from God for you. And the guy said, okay, yeah. And it started out with God's going to use this nation, talking about the United States, in great ways. He'll not only bless the people that are here in this land, that come to this land, but he'll use this land as a catalyst around the world. And many great things will be done from this land. But he said to them, do not, though, go and invade the land to the north. Hadn't even been called Canada yet. Do not go and invade the land to the north. For I have a purpose and a destiny for her in the end times that you know not of. So do not go and invade the land to the north. And if you think about it, right here in this region, in the War of 1812, there was many armies that tried to come from the States and tried to take this land. And oft over time after time, I know at Queenston Heights, there was 3,500 soldiers that came from the South, and they had 500 here, and they were defeated. They could not come. The same thing down by Montreal, the same thing in the Windsor area. They tried their best to invade the land and could not, because God has a purpose and plan for this nation for this end time. But he's going to use you and I. It is not some big superstars. It's not something that's going to be, wow, well, look at all that. It's you and I at the grassroots, rising up and bringing those around us, showing them the love of Jesus Christ and seeing transformation come to our sphere of influence, the people that we contact every single day. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a little video that I want to show you, and it talks a lot about Canada. I've seen it probably, I don't know, maybe 20 times at this point. And I'm glad I can go and sit down in the front row, because when I get all teary about it, you can't see that the old guy's crying, you know, that sort of thing. But we have such a spectacular land, such a spectacular nation. And God has great things for it, and wanting to use you and I to see it completed.